What's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukler.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the State of Sports Utah podcast. Of course, I'm Jake, and I'm with my best friend, Jason. How's it going?
What's up, guys? Can we trademark that opening intro? Because I feel like both of us use the same line every time.
What's
it's
that?
Like the double.
Hey.
Yeah, the double. Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, we either need to just lean into it completely. Or we need to spice it up dramatically.
I'm not sure how you like do an intro any different. I mean, hey, just feels so natural now. I mean, what else are we going to say?
Exactly.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about sports.
So yes, thrilling. Welcome everybody to our podcast.
Well, I hate recording these things after a loss. This was like the worst timing. We couldn't have done this, you know, like a week ago after a big SEC road win. I mean, come on. What is this?
Speaking of which, Jason, non-conference play is over, as you may have noticed. Now it's conference only. BYU is now facing the Big 12 for the very first time. And Utah is facing the Pac-12 for the very last time. So on to conference play, and you know, here we are. And I hate to say this; it hurts me in my soul to say this. We're a third of the way done with the regular season. I know it hurts.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
I know. But we'll get through this together. There's lots of football still to be played. Anyways, let's dive right into exactly how things went. So I'll start off with Utah, obviously. So in week three, Utah was at home, and they were at home the last 2 weeks. They played against Weber State, which is, you know, it's a good FCS team, but an FCS team nonetheless. They took care of business, 31-7. No sightings of Cam Rising in the last 2 weeks at all,
That saga continues.
Yeah, my least favorite storyline has continued. You know, unapologetically too. He toyed with us a little bit this last week because he was in uniform for like team warmups, and then he goes back in the locker room right before kickoff, and then gets in street clothes. So we were toyed with a little bit, but no cigar. But anyways, so we saw so quarterback by committee is no more. Nate Johnson in the Baylor game established himself as the number two guy. And so he got his first two collegiate starts against both Weber State and UCLA. Both home environments, both really great crowds. UCLA fantastic crowd, really, really great environment. It was a barn burner. It was a real defensive slug it out. But there's no such thing as a messy win. There's just a win, right? And so
that had to have felt like the old Utah wins, where it was like just entirely reliant upon the defense making plays.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking about this with my dad and with some of the fellow Utah fans I sit with in the stands, and I was like, I can't remember the last time that Utah only scored 14 points and came out with a win. Like, we're talking over 10 years, and like, that's great, but like, this definitely comes back to, you know, Utah, old school, you know. It gave me a lot of reminders. But I will say, you know, really this whole, these first four games as a whole, and even just these, you know, the last 2 weeks, have really been a testament to Utah's depth and just the depth at every position that Utah has been able to build up and get to at this point. I mean, you know, defeating an SEC opponent at home, going on the road to, you know, a tough Big 12 environment, you know, hosting a top 25 team in UCLA, and without your two best players, you know, hands down, without a lot of other starters, you know, and still being able to come out 4-0, you know, that's, it really is just a, I mean, it really just goes to show how deadly this team would be if they were at full strength. And, but unfortunately, you know, there's, they're not at full strength, right? They're not even close. So, I mean, it's hard to say exactly how deadly, but it just, I mean, the fact that they're able to just struggle it out and still pull off the win despite all the injuries, I mean, it really just goes to show how much depth there is.
Well, and it's, like, it's interesting that that's kind of where you go to, because that's, I mean, that's a major storyline in the BYU side of things as yeah. well, but not in necessarily a positive way. And like, I'll get into that with Kansas, but like, for BYU to start the season and be 3-1, that's like, I think that is, obviously it's not best case scenario. Best case scenario would be 4-0, but I think that's about where at the beginning of the season, a positive expectation and sort of outlook for how BYU would start the season sort of was, you know, picking up.
I mean,
a win.
I thought they'd be 2-2, if I'm being honest.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of like more realistic predictions kind of were at. You know, they really did expect BYU to be 2-2. So I think it is obviously, anytime you can pick up a road win in you know, against an SEC opponent, I think is something that you can build off of, and maybe balances out, you know, the Kansas loss a little bit. I posted this on Twitter, but like at the start of the season, that my expectation and hope and kind of the goal I felt like realistically for BYU was to get bowl eligible. You know, it didn't matter if it was 6, if it was 8 wins, yeah. that you just yeah. needed to get there. And so to be already halfway there,
yeah.
you know, at the start of sort of conference play,
yeah.
is a really positive thing. So like I'm excited about that. Like I think there were some significant strides in 6 quarters of play versus Arkansas and then Kansas, that were, you know, that there were a lot of positive things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second half of Kansas happened and, you know, BYU's lack of depth is already reared its ugly head.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a problem. They haven't really, I mean, they haven't gotten into injuries, like in depth. I know Kalani had mentioned in his post game that like, to his knowledge, none of them were season ending. I'm not going to speculate on
yeah,
a few of
yeah.
these, whether or not they are or are not season ending. But I think there's still things to be optimistic about. And I, like, honestly, I really felt like that it's frustrating because that Kansas game was winnable.
Yeah.
And so to have it be, you know, coaching a little bit of coaching decisions that hurt, you know, that hurt BYU, and some sort of self-inflicted wounds that helped prevent that. It's like, man, it just, it's definitely a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, going into halftime and us getting the ball to start the second half, I really thought that, that BYU was going to move down the field because they had moved fairly easily and was going to go up 10, and that was going to be enough of a, you know, kind of a distance. But obviously, there are some, you know, there's some issues, and that kind of, I mean, that kind of moves us into our, you know, next section of talking about our concerns, you know, moving forward, with our teams, and, injuries is a big one for me. So this is not even close to a full comprehensive list, but it's a big one, and some areas in that second half that I thought, you know, really played into us letting that game slip away. But you had injuries to Kingsley, so offensive line Kingsley, and then Waylon, and both of those guys are starters. You know, Kingsley is has been projected as a first round draft pick, so that losing him is huge, and that caused a lot of shuffling on the offensive line. And you saw how immediate, like, that those injuries impacted what BYU was trying to do. Drive stalled, and you know, made Slovis press a little bit, and just that was, you know, your offense kind of died when the when those guys went down. So losing them is big, and then Ben Bywater, you know, he's like the key cog in your linebacker core, which is really strong, but he, you know, he makes a lot of the things that BYU tries to do on defense work, and that injury in particular is something to watch out for and is concerning. And then you had more secondary issues. I mean, we saw Preston Rex, and we saw Raider DeMooney reps back in the secondary. And I think if you told people that that's kind of where what our secondary would look like in a game at the beginning of the season, I think people would be pretty concerned. That's, I mean, you're getting into fourth, fifth string, and it's just, it's really scary looking ahead with the Big 12 schedule. You know, knowing what Texas can do over the top, knowing what Oklahoma, you know, can bring in their passing game, like that. To
does
me,
BYU
that
BYU face Kansas State this year?
No, thankfully.
Oh, well, yeah. I was gonna say, because that's another
one. Not to shy away from competition, but you know, we did. I think we did luck out a little bit on the scheduling, not having to play Kansas State. But secondary, huge area of concern with the just now piling on number of injuries that we've seen, and you know, this is part of the process. I think I texted or I messaged you, Jake, but I was like, I understand now why Utah was sub 500 for like the first little bit of being in the Pac-12, because it just takes time. And we've said it, you know, BYU fans, myself included, we're going to have to be patient and let that build up. And I mean, the running game is, it's a disaster. I mean, it just is.
Oh, okay.
You had, I think it was minus 4, minus 8 yards rushing in the second half. And this has been a continued theme, you know, for every game. BYU just cannot get the running game established, and I don't know what you know, what the issues are. I'm not an X's and O's sort of guy enough to like point and be like, wow, look at that. That's why we can't run the ball. But when you're asking, you know, Slovis to have to, you know, make 50 or 60 50 or 60 throws or completions in a game, it's just not a realistic formula for success.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you saw that with the three interceptions. So, or the three, was it three? Two interceptions and a fumble. Yeah, two interceptions. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on what I'm concerned with, what I saw with BYU. Was feeling a lot, like I really was really happy to get that Arkansas win.
Yeah.
Arkansas is a good team. That LSU game, they took LSU right down to the wire. So it's a big win. It'll be impactful, I think, later on in the season when, you know, we're trying to scrape together wins to get bowl eligible and trying to pick up, you know, Iowa State and Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. You know, I think those are winnable games.
But having
that Arkansas win in the back, in your back pocket is big.
No, and I agree. And I just want to point out, I think I'm very confident that I haven't double checked this, obviously, but this is the first season in which both BYU and Utah have SEC wins. Mm. So, I mean, it's impressive. That was a tough Kansas team you guys lost to. That was a respectable loss.
Right. I think, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I know Kansas has kind of been the the doormat of the Big 12 for years.
A while.
But they're legit. I mean,
I realistically
think, which it is interesting, I feel like this is the weakest Big 12 that we've seen in several years.
Yeah, in a while.
So I wouldn't be shocked at all. Like, I think that they will finish top five in the conference. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished, as high as third, depending on what goes on with Oklahoma.
I think they're a conference contender. I don't think that'd be unfair to say. Mm. Anyways, going over to Utah and my concerns going forward, you mentioned injuries. I have the same thing. I think Kyle Whittingham said it right after the Weber game that the team currently has more injuries than he's ever seen in his 40 years of coaching. I mean, he's never seen this many injuries on a team, like especially this early. But like, you know, you're down, you're playing your QB2, your QB1's out, your tight end one is out, your running back two is out for the year, your running back one is fighting on and off injuries, your two guys on the defensive line are fighting injuries, your kicker got hurt in warm-ups, and so he's out for a couple weeks, and don't even get me started on that one. But it's like all-time high of injuries. And don't get me wrong, like, I know I praise the depth, and ultimately, like, these, you know, these young guys and these backups playing now, it'll pay off later down the line. But at the same time, it's just like I'm looking ahead in the schedule, and like, you know, you're going to need a lot of your offensive weapons to come back. You're going to need Rising and his offensive weapons that he can use, you know, when it comes time to face teams like Washington, Oregon, USC, because scoring 20-ish points a game is not going to be enough, even with the insanity that is, you know, the talent on the defense. Like, that, like, they're not going to stop them that much that you won't still need to score a lot of points. And right now, you know, the team is kind of in, you know, hang on for dear life until we get our weapons back. You know, it's kind of, you know, stagger and stumble until Rising and all the other, you know, major players come back. And so, and that's kind of the other thing, is like the stagnation on offense. You know, like they'll make a big play early on, and you know, and then it'll, then they'll stagnate for most of the game. And like, you know, and as far as the, you know, the UCLA game is a great example of that. You know, defense comes out, makes a big play, pick six on the very first play of the game. You know, emotions are riding high, and then they stagnate for a quarter, and then they finally get a good drive together. They score, take up a 14-0 lead right before halftime, and then they don't score again the entire game. Just offensive stagnation. And some of that's play calling, you know, some of it, because it's just like, it was like, run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle, punt, run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle, punt. And it, and so, but I also think that that was, they did that on purpose. They're like, you know what, we're going to put this on the defense, and I think we're pretty sure we can win this anyway. And they did. But like, that's not going to fly against even Oregon State coming up this next week. That, you know, 14 points and your offense only scoring half of those is not going to be enough. You know, you need to add a spark. You need to get some dynamic play calling coming in. You need to not stagnate for most of the game. You know, it's just not going to be enough.
Right. And I mean, especially, I mean, comparing the other offenses that Utah is going to face in, yeah, you know, in the Pac-12, like I'm looking at Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Washington.
Yes.
And USC, obviously. But I mean, mm-hmm, even
Colorado, and Arizona score a lot of points.
Even Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Like, they had some struggles versus Oregon, but I don't think that's going to be...
They had some struggles against real competition.
Right. I don't think that that game is necessarily indicative of how the rest of the season is going to go for Colorado.
Like, no.
They're a hard team. They're a hard team to put a finger right on.
Yeah.
Kind of a wild card, but...
Exactly. And it's just like... And so anyway, going back to Utah, it's just like, you know, you can't face Oregon, Washington, USC, and some of the others, you know, scoring as few points, stagnating as much as you are, not having the weapons that you know you need, right? Like, if you could just commit, if you could just be like, okay, these guys are out, they're graduated, they're gone, this is the team we have, then like, okay, that's fine, right? You got to figure that out. But, and I kind of mentioned this last week with the quarterbacks, like, you can't really commit to what you have right now because you know that you're fighting with the hand tied behind your back. You know, you're not, you know, these aren't the guys. These are the guys' backups, you know? And so it's kind of hard right now. But other than that, I mean, we could talk about our worries all day. I mean, we're kind of at that point of the season, I think, that, you know, there's a lot to be excited about, being 3-1, 4-0. It's a great place to be, but there's a lot of football left to play. There's a lot of scary teams on the horizon. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, but a lot of things that could go right. So, I mean, we could sit here and talk about things that worry us all day. But, Jason, that doesn't make for a very interesting podcast.
We're so depressed, man.
I know.
Look at us. Yeah, both way above 500, and we're over here doom and gloom.
I know, Jason. Exactly. So what do you say we liven it up, and we're going to take a question that a listener posed, and we're going to kind of, and I kind of had a fun spin to this. So he says, here's the fun. So this is coming from JoeWall13. He commented it on our last video. He says, here's a question I think would be fun to hear you two debate. What G5 schools would you add to the conference? And I'm assuming the conference is the new Big 12. Now, obviously, Jason, I know your answer is none. But let's say you have to. Let's say you have to add a G5 school to the new Big 12. Expansion is not is mandatory, and all Power 5 schools are off the table, right? So I have compiled a list of what I would say are some of the, you know, the upper half of the G5 schools still available, still up for grabs. And so I'm just going to go down the list, and you tell me yes or no, each one in a vacuum. And if you want to explain why yes or no, then that's fine. If you want to just give no explanation, that's also okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So I got to, you know, as much as I hate to see these two schools involved in the list, I got to go with, start with Oregon State.
Are we qualifying Oregon State as a G5 school?
I mean,
now? They
will if they don't put a conference together. I mean, and even if they do.
Nope.
Okay, so no, Washington State.
Neither of those teams. I think you've kind of toyed with the rejects of a Power 5 conference thing. Like, yeah, I just like, there's not a lot of value add personally, I don't think, there. And you're basically taking leftover wannabe Oregon and Washington. And you can't compete with.
That is a harsh critique.
But it's true. It is true. And you can't compete with the Big Ten when you're adding the doormat schools for both of those states, frankly.
Okay, so let's move on. There's a lot more on this list. Okay, let's go Boise State.
Yes.
Really? You're adding the Broncos?
I'm adding Boise State over
You're adding
Washington.
The Smurf turf, Jason.
Yeah, Washington State and Oregon.
You heard it here, folks. Jason's adding the Smurf turf to the new Big 12.
I think when you have teams like, I mean, frankly, like Oregon State and Washington State, and then, you know, looking on the East Coast, Rutgers, Vanderbilt, like these teams that just have ridden their geographical location for 100 years, Boise State has done everything right to deserve a spot in a Power 5 conference. I really think that.
No, that's true. Like, I would completely agree with that.
They're the original BCS Buster.
That was Utah. Utah beat them to the punch.
No, but I'm just going to say nationally, when you ask for a BCS Buster, they're going to say Boise State.
No, they're going to say Utah.
Nobody,
Utah beat
I'm
them to the
sorry,
punch.
I'm sorry, but nobody thinks of the Pitt Fiesta Bowl win.
Yeah,
every single
but
person
I mean, it still
the,
happened. And it's still a fact.
Every single college football fan, when you ask who was the BCS Buster, they're going to point to that Boise State-Oklahoma game. 1,000%. Everyone knows that Statue of Liberty play. Every single person. No college football fan could name you the starting quarterback for Utah versus Pitt. I'm sorry.
Alex Smith?
Yeah, a Utah fan. Anyway, that's beside the point. I think that they've done enough. They've built their football program to where, like it would add geographical value to the conference more so than, and again, this is all hypothetical, assuming the ACC somehow stays together and we're not taking ACC teams, which is what I think should happen.
Obviously, but again, this G5 that's not Joe Wall 13's question,
yes.
Jason.
Yes. Okay.
Stick to the prompt at hand.
All right. Boise over those schools.
Okay, so let's go Fresno State.
No.
Air Force.
No.
Colorado State.
No.
Wyoming.
No.
San Diego.
No. That one, I do have something to add there. They built this brand new stadium, like put all this money into their football stadium. They cannot get fans in butts in seats. They have nobody there. They have spent all of this money and they do not have program support. It's the same
issue sleepy
that
California
all, a
for
bunch
you.
Of those right that a bunch of those California schools have, and I still think it's crazy that the Big Ten wanted to add UCLA and USC, who have no current football support. Even last season, even having Caleb Williams, all this hype, their stadiums may be half full. So I think that's the case for every game I've watched with San Diego State this season. They just don't have they have California, and frankly, California market is looking real slim pickings right now for value added.
Okay. All right. Let's move over eastward. Let's go Tulane.
Yes.
Okay.
Another Southern partner. Tulane's done some really good things
New Orleans,
the last couple years.
Yeah, media right. market. Yeah. All right. Memphis, Tennessee.
Probably no. I'm probably going to say no to the rest of your teams, but they're probably, if I'm taking a team, they're third. I'm going to log them and just so I can.
Okay, see no. Okay, I think the point of this list is that each one is taken in a vacuum. None, like, just because you picked Tulane doesn't mean, you know, like, oh, well, that's a spot, right? So each one is like, you consider them as they're the first team up for expansion, like the expansion ad, right? You only consider them by themselves.
I can't know who the rest of the list is.
Yes, exactly.
Probably no.
Okay. Rice.
No.
UTSA.
No.
East Carolina.
No. Freaking screw East Carolina. I hate them. I hate them.
Oh, boo, Jason. Come on. Don't be so petty.
I have no actual ill will towards East Carolina. We just have had some inept football teams that have lost to them way more than we should have.
Not
like Coastal Carolina. I genuinely hate Coastal Carolina, and I'm always happy to see them lose. East Carolina, actually, if we have an East Carolina fan that listens,
we don't.
I have no animosity towards you.
Alrighty then. University of Southern Florida.
No.
North Texas.
No.
Navy.
No. But
really?
it would be fun.
Army.
You gotta love. Oh man, when we had Air Force in the Mountain West and had to prep for freaking the triple option.
Yeah.
Out of the blue, for 1 week of the whole season that you had this completely different style of game prep was absolute. Oh, it was
pandemonium.
It was horrible.
Is how
it was
I always. Yeah. So no Army, no Navy.
No. I do think that Army getting added into the same conference as Navy is great.
Oh no, that's good.
That would be a great move for college football.
I agree. The American that should add them. Speaking of your bitter rivals, Coastal Carolina.
No.
Appalachian State.
Coastal has done next to nothing. Next to nothing. Like they look like they were gonna be good, and then they've just not been good.
All right, Appalachian State.
No.
UConn, and I know this one was thrown around during the four corner school potential ad. Should they take UConn instead? You know,
it is intriguing. I mean, looking at it from not just a basketball, obviously you have to look at that from a basketball standpoint. But like I think East Coast value. I'm gonna say this is probably controversial. I'm gonna say yes.
I don't
largely
think that's controversial.
Largely for basketball, but it just I think. Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Texas State.
No.
Western Kentucky.
Let's see. Texas. Is that. Oh, who am I thinking of? North Texas has really cool uniforms.
Yeah, said no to them earlier.
Yeah, they have cool uniforms. I have to shout out they are sick. I love their black and lime green set. Super awesome.
All right, Western Kentucky. Last one.
No.
Okay. Dang, there Jason, that's like three yeses.
Yeah. And that was being generous.
Mm.
I would take 1,000, and just to be clear, for argument's sake, I participated 100,000%. You take any bottom dweller ACC school that gets left behind from the Big Ten, the inevitable Big Ten and SEC raid that happens there. You take whomever you can from the ACC conference over all of those schools that I just listed.
Yeah.
100%.
No, I agree. I mean, frankly, you know, with the four corner schools, it shores up the western half of the conference. Now you need to shore up the eastern half. I agree. I completely agree. You need to shore up the eastern half.
Well, that wasn't a total... I mean, it was a little bit of a brain meld with some of those teams, considering them. But nah, that was a great question. It was highly entertaining to
argue
and if anyone Jake has about their validity,
and if anyone has another hypothetical type question you guys want us to answer, please feel free to leave it down in the comments or just anything else you guys want to add. We love, you know, answering your questions and making you guys part of the show. It makes it a lot more engaging for us and just gives us more things to talk about. And kind of, even if it's kind of off topic, we don't mind.
Well, now we move into the prediction. Part of the podcast, which is always fun.
All right, should we find out how we did, Jason? How'd we do?
do you wanna bring that up? Actually, can you give that?
Okay, so let's just go week by week. So BYU at Arkansas, I predicted they would lose. So did you.
Yep.
Actually. So, which I was very thankful for, because that means I didn't lose a point.
Who had the closer prediction?
No, that doesn't matter. If you don't get it right, you don't get the point.
Dang it.
All right. Next up, Utah versus Weber State. We both picked the same score, and we were both equally right and equally wrong.
Another wash.
Yep. So another wash. So even Steven there. All right, next is BYU at Kansas. Now, Jason, you predicted Kansas would
BYU would win. I hate that you're going to win this on a stupid technicality.
It's not a technicality, Jason.
Who predicts that we're going to win at Arkansas and then turn around and lose against Kansas?
I predicted you would lose to both.
So therefore, you should be nullified from Kansas prediction.
Anyways, so I predicted you'd lose. Now, I thought it'd be a little bit more lower scoring, but thankfully that doesn't matter because you got it wrong and I didn't.
Another point.
All right, so that's another point for me. Now, here's where you kind of redeem yourself, Jason. Utah versus UCLA, the actual score was 14-7, right? I predicted a much higher scoring game, 31-20. That's an 11-point difference, high scoring game. You predicted an 11-point difference, but you predicted it as a lower scoring game, 28-17. So I actually am going to give you the point for that. Yes. Even though it's the same differential, fact that it was lower scoring and you had it as the lower scoring.
I knew, man. I knew.
I'm sure you did.
Oh, boy. We are really good at this, guys. So
obviously.
With that being said, let's give our next totally accurate and these will be binding, will happen predictions.
Obviously. We're channeling our inner oracles.
We have buys at the same time. That is
crazy. And Jason.
Crazy.
And what's even crazier is both teams are playing on Friday.
General conference weekend,
yep,
baby.
General conference weekend. Kyle requests it every year.
Thank you, Big 12, for allowing that to continue still. That is super nice.
Yeah. The Pac-12 is only nice enough to give it to Kyle once every other year. And I'm not even kidding. They once every other year. Like last year, they played during conference. The year before that, they didn't. And this year, they don't play during conference.
There you go. I'm going to Cincinnati's offense did not look good. Their defense kept up pretty well with Oklahoma. It just was too much to overcome.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be pretty. This could end up being a pretty boring, low scoring game. I am going to say. BYU wins. This is still one of those games. I just feel like the energy for your first Big 12 home game is gonna really shine. I really think it's gonna be there. I wish so much that this was coming right after the Arkansas win.
Yeah.
But I still think that the energy is gonna be unreal. I am gonna say 21-17, BYU wins. Actually. Oh, no. I'm gonna go a little lower. I'm gonna go 17-10.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna go a little more low scoring, anticipatory. What is your BYU Cincinnati prediction?
So I also did not have it. This as a high scoring game. I went 24-17. So you almost copied me pretty well. I think you'll get it done. You'll get it done by a touchdown. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the slightly higher scoring. 24-17 is how I'm going to go. And I'm even, as we're talking, I'm probably going to change mine. Yeah, I'm going to change my Oregon State score prediction. Yeah, that's not where I'm going.
All right, so what is your Oregon State-Utah prediction?
So Utah at Oregon State, so this is, first road conference game, right? Oregon State, typically a tough place to play. Reser Stadium's going to be crazy. They got their new stadium. They are coming off a pretty heartbreaking loss, failed comeback. Failed comeback against Washington State, a very good Washington State team. However, my problem is I'm going back and forth on this one, because Washington State really exposed a lot of things about Oregon State that I really think Utah can do a great job in exploiting. But unless you get a lot of your weapons back, you're going to have trouble scoring, and Oregon State really hasn't had that struggle. Now, then again, neither did UCLA. And Florida hasn't since either. But... Alright, I'm going to say Utah wins. I'm going to go with 21-17. Very similar prediction to BYU in Cincinnati. I'm going to go with, not quite as non-action, because I think there's more scoring in this game than there was against UCLA, because I think UCLA's defense is better than Oregon State's. And I think the offense will improve. I think we'll get a few more guys back. I don't think Risen comes back. I think they say, he comes back after the bye week. That just makes sense. I think you get a couple of weapons back, though. I think they pull out another messy win.
Well, just for the sake of trying to steal some points on my prediction stuff here, this is going to be my upset special, trap game, I think, a little bit here. I think Oregon State's, I think that the way that Washington State game, turned out, I think, is going to be enough motivation for Oregon State to sort of... this has always been a struggle. Oregon State's been a tough team for Utah for whatever reason, and especially playing it on the road after your offense could only muster up 7 points. I do. I think this is going to be... this could end up being a tough game for Utah, so I am going to say it is a 10-21 loss.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Okay. It would be brutal.
I can respect
There's my prediction. We probably have been a little homerish in our predictions, both for and against each other's teams, with Jake predicting we would lose to Arkansas.
Back-to-back weeks. I predict back-to-back losses.
So, I don't know. We'll see. This is why we play, right? This is what makes college football fun. I mean, anything could happen. Not a lot of people predicted that BYU would win that Arkansas game, and we did. We could totally go in and drop the ball and lose to Cincinnati next week. I mean, it's part of the fun and not fun of college football. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us. Make sure you hit that like button. Subscribe if you want to hear more funny ramblings from the not married couple. Old not married couple.
We got a comment on one of our videos.
Someone said.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening again. Excited to see what the next 2 weeks bring. Hopefully we get some health, some rest with both teams getting some byes.
Oh my gosh. And, could not come at a better time.
Yeah, it is a well-timed bye. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Go Cougs.
Go Utes.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.